Blog Talk Radio.
Here she is.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 4th, 2011, episode 242, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. It's beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Well, I hope it's going to be an absolutely beautiful day for everybody. It's not a beautiful day for one person, Glenn.
What happened?
I was just looking over the daily racing form, and do you remember the first jockey that rode Mucho Macho Man, our adopted racehorse? Mucho Macho Man was ridden by a jockey named Rajiv Marah.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Okay.
Yep.
So Rajiv Marah didn't get to ride Mucho Macho Man in the Belmont because he'd lost the Preakness, so they put on a different jockey. And during the Belmont, if you remember, Rajiv Marah was riding this horse, and they came out, and he then bumped into the horse Isn't He Perfect, who then bumped into Mucho Macho Man, or he was on Isn't He Perfect, bumped into Mucho Macho Man, who then bumped into Animal Kingdom, and Animal Kingdom broke his leg and is like in rehab right now, and Rajiv Marah got suspended. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we were all like, oh no, we hope it wasn't Mucho Macho Man, but it was actually the jockey. Well, the jockey has been suspended again for doing the same exact thing this past weekend on a horse named Calibrachoa. He broke from post four. He bumped into Euro Ears, who then in turn bumped into a Property, who then stumbled and almost fell down. And of course, Euro Ears was a front runner and finished last place. And they're doing checks on him right now, physical checks on him. Hopefully he's okay. But this guy, how many times does he have to do it? Like, can you eventually be like de-jockeyed?
Maybe it's time. I saw they were advertising for help at McDonald's. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe a change of career might be in order for this particular guy. Wow.
Can you imagine how much a former jockey that worked at McDonald's would eat? Because he's been starving forever. I mean, it'd be like,
no more pickles.
I
could never eat a pickle again either.
Anyway, that's my little news. I was just reading that, and I wonder how many chances you get. I mean, Animal Kingdom broke his leg from this whole thing. Mucho Macho Man, our horse, was nowhere near winning because of this horse and because of this jockey. And they all said that maybe it was like a dirty move because he wanted to bump into Mucho Macho Man because he didn't get to ride him. And he was going to show the owners, you know, I don't know. Who knows? We should talk to Frankie Lovato. Maybe he'll give us inside perspective.
Well, if he's listening this morning, he can give us a call at 347-637-3238. We have a lot of stuff online for today, but I wanted to ask you if you saw the cute little donkey picture I posted yesterday.
Was that you?
Yeah.
I thought that was Jennifer.
No, wasn't that cute? Cutest thing ever.
Oh. And I was looking, and like 400 people already shared it with their friends.
I know.
Now you can see how many people share your stuff on Facebook. Oh, adorable.
I know. It is adorable. If you haven't seen it, go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the little donkey. It is so cute. I just want to, you know, I have Glory laying on one side of me here. I have the cat in the other, and I want a donkey under my feet that's that cute.
Yeah, good luck with that. You might get divorced before that happens.
All right, speaking of divorce, what's coming up, Jennifer?
Oh, hit the button. On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we are all over the map. And I'm not just referring to Glenn's sudden topic changes this time. We open with a chat from Dr. Wells, chiropractor and America's favorite trail horse competitor, who is from our adopted hometown of Norco, California. And next up, back in Kentucky with Jonathan Lang, who works with the Alltech company right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And he's going to be telling us about all the really cool stuff they've got going on at the Alltech National Horse Show, which will be happening later on this fall. And to round out our trip around the world, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer will be here. I just love saying her name. And she's going to be telling us about what's hot and what's not on the Horse and Country TV website with all the really cool news, video, and gossip. Stay tuned for a whirlwind ride.
When you say, you know, Victoria Spicer, does it make you think of, like, the Spice Girls?
Mm.
Is that what you like to say it? Victoria, the Spice Girls. Victoria Spicer.
It's just a cool name. Victoria.
Sounds regal. Sounds royal. I have a story of English royalty I'm going to share with you a little later, too, that's kind of gross. But I wanted to say, you know that little picture we were just talking about where the little picture of the baby donkey, I was just talking about, it's the cutest little furry thing ever. You know, before I got married Jennifer and got into the horse world, I actually thought, and this is what reminded me of it, because we're going to have Dr. Wells on today talking about her mule Jester. I always thought before I knew anything about horses that donkeys grew up to be mules.
What? You did not.
You talk to non-horse people, and I bet you there's a ton of them that think donkeys grew up to be mules, that donkeys are just little mules. You talk to them, I bet. Bet you'll find that.
I think you're wrong. I don't think
okay, maybe it was just me.
I don't know about that. If anybody else knows somebody who has that opinion, or maybe your horse husband thinks that, always Facebook us or give us a call, because
well,
I think you're
I got to tell you, for a long time, though, it did confuse the heck out of me how exactly you got a mule on, you know, whether the mule, the horse, and the who was sterile, and the donkey and the mule thing always was very confusing to me. So
yeah.
I think I finally kind of figured that out. But just saying. All right, time for Daily News. Daily Winnies go out today. Two happy birthdays. One to Shauna Koresh, a regular here on Horses in the Morning. It was her birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Shauna, out there in California. And another birthday today is Lindsay White, our friend from the Helmet Campaign and also from Succeed. And she lives right here in Lexington. You see her on a regular basis. So our friend Lindsay, it's her birthday as well. I remember her birthday vividly last year because we all went out. It was during the World Equestrian Games, which was going on at this point last year, and we all went out for dinner expecting the restaurant to be packed. We went to Carino's for her birthday, and there was like nobody in it. The place was empty. We were shocked. So happy birthday to Lindsay, too. Jennifer, why don't you try and get Lindsay on the phone? I haven't told her we're calling, but see if you can wake her up, and we'll wish her a live happy birthday. And do you have one, too?
Of course I do. You know, speaking of the World Equestrian Games, if I may for a moment just take a second here, the World Equestrian Games going on, that meant that I had been hired by Horses in the Morning before the World Equestrian Games even started. And I had to sit here and listen to you and all of your friends sitting there at the World Equestrian Games while me, a future employee, has been hired and is sitting at home making no money, not at the World Equestrian Games. But that brings me to the fact that it is less than 1 month and we've been doing this show for a year. Isn't
I
awesome?
Know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Time flies.
November 1st will be our one-year anniversary. We'll have to make it a very special show. Maybe actually
yes.
have some listeners on.
You might have to think about it. Plan it in advance. Preparation.
Maybe not call somebody like Lindsay right now during the show. we'll put a little more prep into it. The other thing I was thinking of is, the World Equestrian Games. You got to do a show with one Samantha Clark,
yes.
right?
Yep.
And
for here, yeah.
And I really think that Samantha Clark and I would be best friends if we lived anywhere close to each other, because I read her stuff on Eventing Nation, and I just love the way she writes, and I love the way how she writes and who she writes about. And she goes to the events, and she posts pictures on her blog and also on eventingnation.com, which is where I see everything. And the reason we would totally be best friends, I mean, aside from the fact that everything she writes I think is very funny and I kind of agree with, she was hanging out with Zenyatta this past weekend. Posted pictures of a very pregnant Zenyatta online.
Where do you? I'm on her Samantha's blog. You go to eventingnation.com and you go to Samantha's blog, but I don't see the pictures.
Just go to regular eventingnation.com and start scrolling down. And there's some pictures of her doing an article about a guy named David Engordo who sells a lot of horses and works for Lane's End. So when you go to eventingnation.com, you can scroll down. Maybe post one of the pictures to our Facebook page. Can you do that, Glenn?
Yes, they will.
Post a pregnant Zenyatta picture.
Which one's Zenyatta? I'm looking down, scrolling through. There's a whole bunch of them. This is Leighton Hart, Candy Ride, the Bernardini.
Which one is Zenyatta?
I'm looking.
Isn't that Bernardini Colt awesome? Oh, phenomenal.
That is a cute baby, actually.
Bernardini Colt, you scroll down past that, and then there's a pleasantly perfect Antoinette Felice.
There she is.
So there's there's a great headshot of her because she's very photogenic, and she just poses for pictures, and you can just tell. And I'd love to talk to Samantha about this because she seriously looks like she's posing for every picture. So if the second one down is her, you can see her baby bump.
Yes, you can, definitely. All right. Well, we didn't get Lindsay on the phone. Apparently, she didn't answer. So let's try and get Samantha on the line. Do you have her number, Jennifer? We'll try and get Samantha on here to talk about this. We'll wake her up this morning.
we'll just
Jennifer's
call everybody we know.
Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, do you have Samantha's number?
No.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Keep it out on
the
air.
I'll give it to you. Oh, they changed my phone yesterday. They had an Android update, and they put all the new operating system in. What a pain in the butt to learn something new. I'm one of those people, I guess. I'm turning into my wife.
You fear change.
All right, Jennifer, I'm posting this right now so you can give Samantha a call and Jamie can rail on her about seeing Zenyatta and not being invited.
Yeah, I don't understand how you could go see Zenyatta and I don't get invited. I mean, it's just really not fair, considering she and I are best friends, obviously.
That's right. And yeah, you can find that on Eventing Nation. We'll post we'll post some of the pictures on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah, we should feel that. We'll have to steal that from Samantha.
Well, while we're waiting for Samantha, if she's home to this morning, I wanted to say there were a couple things here going on in the news, and we thought we'd cover a couple of those. One is we always like to report, as we did yesterday, on homes that are up for sale by celebrities. Well, a while back, we reported that Jack Nicholson's 70-acre Malibu estate was up for sale for $4.25 million. Well, apparently it has sold. He has sold his estate now. It was zoned for equestrian use and has a ton of trails and ranch-style main house and caretaker home, tennis courts, and all that stuff. Well, he apparently sold it for $3.5 million, so he had to come down a little bit, but it does not say who bought it. There's no word on who bought it. So, oh, no Samantha either. We can't even get Samantha. Nobody wants to answer our calls this morning.
Oh my gosh, nobody wants to talk to us. So of course listeners can always call, but they never do either. I don't know, we're just intimidating people, Glenn. So this Jack Nicholson had his house listed for what, and he sold it for what?
So he had it listed for $4.25 million, sold it for $3.5 million, so he had to come down $750,000.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, I just feel so bad.
It's probably not going to be able to buy bread and food.
The economy is just really crushing everybody, you know? I mean, my gosh.
I know. I know. He had to settle.
And then what are you doing, speaking of Lexington, Kentucky, what are you doing this Friday, Glenn? I mean, I'm heading to Vegas to go see Garth Brooks. So what are you doing?
I have a song for you today, too, that's special for you just because of that. Am not going to the opening of Keeneland on Friday.
Why not? It is the most fun day. Keeneland's fall race meet this year is October 7th through the 29th, and it is the 75th anniversary celebration. Keeneland's been open for 75 years. That is some major history for the United States. I mean, come on.
It is major history, and it's a big deal this year. They're making a big deal about it. A lot of articles in the newspaper, and apparently they're going to be doing a lot of special things this year. We will get over for Keeneland, but not an opening day because there'll be 50 million people there, and you won't even be able to walk.
You know how many people were there for the first day of live racing 75 years ago? Because now, you're right, there's like 50 million people there. Opening day is incredibly popular. I go to closing day every spring. But Keeneland, on opening day 75 years ago, was flooded with 8,000 fans. 8,000.
Wow.
75 years ago, were they driving cars?
Yeah, they probably had early cars and some horses too. 8,000, and it was pretty small back then. The main grandstand area was about it 75 years ago. So that's interesting. And 8,000. A lot more now. I think they get up to 50,000 on a big day now.
Yeah, I was telling you, just definitely, if you've never been to Keeneland's fall meet, you got to go and maybe go on a Tuesday. I don't think they race on Mondays, but go on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and you can go. I mean, you don't work, so you can go anytime. So just go anytime and then go hang out and see it on a non-weekend day.
Saturday morning.
That's right. That's
Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, that's the best time, too. Breakfast at Keeneland, they have a special breakfast, and you get to go watch the horses warm up, and you get out there before the sun comes up, and you'll be shocked that there's hundreds of people there before the sun comes up on the weekend days to have breakfast at Keeneland. It's really special and cool, and you freeze your what's off, but it's fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. But
this weekend, actually, we're volunteering at a CDE, a combined driving event at the horse park.
Are you a jump judge kind of thing?
No, I'm going to be the timer for the cones part, and Jennifer's on cones. She has to run out there when they knock the ball off the cones and
jump
put
crew.
The ball back.
Yeah, that's jump crew.
He jumped through, pretty much.
Run out, put the ball back.
She actually gave me responsibility of Wendy, my co-host for the driving show, is the volunteer coordinator, and she gave me responsibility. I have to be the timer. I have to, like, press the button and then press the button again.
That's
I could
too much
screw that up.
For me.
I know.
Yeah.
I could screw it up. I said, do you have a backup timer? Because you're talking to me. Probably not good.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely would not do that. Okay. Just moving on to a different news story. Yeah, social media is taking over the horse world. And so is, you know, many different avenues of watching horses. I mean, we've got horse television channels. You've got horse HRTV. You've got TVG. You've got RFD. All these horse channels. Well, we are still not as cool as everybody over in Europe. I mean, obviously, they have horseandcountry.tv. But British Horse Show, the Horse of the Year show, Horse Show of the Year, excuse me, is going to be broadcast on Sky 3D TV. It is going to be shown in 3D. The director, John Cassie, said the Horse of the Year show in 3D is going to give audiences a totally fresh perspective on the art of show jumping. How cool would it be to watch Grand Prix show jumping? I mean, obviously being there is cool, but it's in 3D on your television.
You know, 3D TVs, I have a thing about 3D TVs. Unless they can come up with a 3D TV that I don't have to wear the darn stupid little glasses when I'm sitting on my own couch, I don't think 3D TVs are going to become... Do you know anybody with a 3D TV?
No, I don't.
I'm really surprised, actually, that...
Do you have to have... I don't think you have to have a 3D TV to just watch 3D programming, do you?
Well, I don't think you see it in 3D unless you have a 3D TV.
No, I mean, movie theaters play 3D movies, and all you need is the glasses. So maybe the 3D TVs, everything is 3D.
No. Well, you still aren't going to see the 3D effect without a 3D TV. You're still going to see it in 2D.
Oh, the 3D TV, you don't need the glasses. I'm so confused.
No, need the glasses for your 3D. If you have a 3D TV, you need the little glasses like they give you at the theater when you go in. You do need that.
That's annoying.
I know.
You're
see?
Sitting here with your spouse, snuggling up to the couch. You want to start kissing and stuff.
Romantic red and blue glasses on.
Exactly. Then you start smooching and your glasses bump. Well, I do love 3D, and there is one movie that I watched this weekend, and you're going to laugh at me. Yeah, and maybe our listeners, I really think that this movie was phenomenal, and I really wish I had seen it in 3D, because I remember watching all previews for it and going, this is in 3D, this is in 3D. Did you ever, and Glenn, I want you to pay attention, did you ever see the movie How to... What?
I'm paying attention. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Just making sure. Did you ever see the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
No, I didn't, actually. That's the one I know about, How to Train Your Dragon, but we never saw it. It's an animated,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. It was so freaking good. I can't imagine being able to watch that in 3D. You'd have a dragon in your face. There was nothing cuter than that dragon and his little pet dragon or whatever, the one he's trying to train. And not to give anything away, but I laughed out loud. Like, I was sitting... It was Sunday morning. I was sitting by myself at about 7:30 in the morning, laying in bed, and I'm watching this movie. I'm laughing out loud. By the end of the movie, it's about 8:45, and I'm sobbing, like crying, boo-hooing, tears coming down. And then what happens? What do I hear? Jamie, are you in there? My students all arrived for their 9 o'clock lesson. And here I am, laying there in my pajamas, in bed, sobbing uncontrollably. Of course, I have to open the door. I'm like, hey, guys. They're like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I just was watching the movie How to Train Your Dragon. I'll be okay.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. It was so embarrassing. Did anybody else see that movie? Did anybody else cry? I mean, it's like
no.
Every person's kind of.
No, we didn't see it. And Craig Ferguson was one of those characters. I was one of the voices in there, and that's how I know about it, because he talked about it a lot. But I never saw it. So it's worth seeing?
Oh, my gosh. I want to see it again. I told Chad, I'm like, you missed one of the best movies I've seen in a while. And, of course, it's a kid's movie, and, of course, it's animated. And, of course, it's like animals involved. And so what's not to love?
All right, so that's a recommendation, and we can rent it now. Hey, we do. Lindsay called in. We were trying to reach her earlier, and it looks like she's called in now. It's Lindsay White. Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. I'm sorry I didn't answer the phone.
Yeah, what's with you avoiding us? Everybody's avoiding us this morning. Nobody wants to talk to us, but I'm glad you called in. So,
I just
happy birthday.
Jennifer, nobody answers the phone if you don't recognize the number these days.
That's true. That is true. We got some, we call out at some bizarre New York number. So it is a bizarre number. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Last year this time, It was your birthday, and we were at the World Equestrian Games, remember?
I know, and that was so exciting to be there.
So you're 29 Very. Again.
Yeah, I wish. If we can count down, that would be great.
Well, I thought that's the way they did it in England, that you went backwards.
Yes, we do, yes. Absolutely right. I just made my morning.
There you go. And, of course, we'll give a quick plug. I don't want to hold you up. I know you have a job and work to do and stuff. We just wanted to wish you a happy birthday on the air.
Thank you. Also,
give a plug out quick for your website.
We have the Helmet Awareness Campaign website, ridersforhelmets.com, which is riders and the number 4 and helmets.com. And then, of course, one of your sponsors, which is Succeed,
succeed-equine.com. And I'm going to post a picture of me in my helmet on my trail ride. It's in the Smoky Mountains. I'm going to post that on your Facebook page for Riders for Helmets, too.
Fantastic. And I'm going to go rent that movie because I want to see if it really is going to make me cry.
Oh, girl, it's so good.
But I don't know if I want to cry at a movie. I want to watch a happy movie, not a sad movie.
It's a happy cry, okay? Maybe you won't cry. I just get emotional, and there's no singing in it. There's no, like, super musical cartoony things, you know? It's just a really good movie.
That sing. I just hate singing cartoons. I hate musical cartoons. Like, I don't want musical cartoons.
You must have had a really bad childhood. I mean, if you don't like singing cartoons, I'm worried sick about you.
I think you need some therapy or something.
I think so too, Lindsay.
Oh, they make my skin crawl. I don't like black and white movies either, by the way. So I don't think I'm the only one there either.
Can we hang up on you? I mean, just...
We'll just review movies for the rest of the show. How about that?
I think so. But, you know, there's an equine element to how to train your dragon because there's riding. You know, you have to learn how to ride this dragon, and it's just like a training thing, and it's becoming friends with an animal. And I think it's fantastic. Now, we were talking about the 3D TVs because that movie was available in 3D, and I'm bummed I never got to see it in 3D. But Aubrey Miller, we'll just go to her house and watch it because she says she has a 3D TV. She says
what?
Not everything on the 3D TV.
We'll
yeah,
take a birthday
there you go,
cake and a bottle of pop.
Aubrey Miller has a 3D. She's the only one I know that has a 3D TV then. Let's all go to her house.
Yeah.
Come on over, Aubrey.
Not everything is 3D, and you still have to use the glasses that came with it, and it has to be a specific type of show, and there's some sort of receiver that you had to set up, so she's actually never used a 3D option.
So it's a 3D TV, but only a half kind of 3D TV, really.
I guess you never used it.
That's hilarious, Aubrey. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. You have a great day.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Happy birthday.
I can't believe Aubrey has a 3D TV. Although she says it was a gift. She never set it up.
It just seems like there's a lot to do. It has to be a certain show. There has to be some receiver that you set up. You have to wear the glasses. And then she says that they're nice, but they just look like sunglasses instead of, you know, I remember that the paper glasses that had a red lens and a blue lens, and then everybody looked like a complete idiot.
Yes. Well, right after our commercial here for Pfizer, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Jennifer Wells, who's a chiropractor out of Norco, California. And of course, we have our trip coming up, so we're meeting some of the people ahead of time that we're actually going to chat with and have a good time with out in Norco. So Jennifer is one of those, and she has an interesting story and has an interesting critter. So we're going to talk to her about that as well. So why don't you do the commercial, and we'll get to Jennifer in a minute.
All right. Sounds good. I just posted a picture of how to train your dragon. Oh, I want to go watch it right now. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes our trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, the innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with MetaStim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com.
Well, we are less than 2 months away from our big trip to Norco, California. Well, it's a big trip for us. It's a little jaunt for you, Jamie. But
I can
it's
drive.
It's a big, yeah, that's right. November 30th through December the 2nd, we're going to be doing 3 shows live from Norco and spending some time there. And they have all kinds of activities planned, and we're very excited about it. And then what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're actually going to meet some of the people. We have already started that. Remember the Zebra or Us lady who we had on a week
She's
or two
awesome.
Ago?
She
was
awesome.
Great. Everybody we've met from Norco. We adopted Norco as our hometown because we just found it an interesting place full of interesting people. Everybody we have talked to from Norco has been fun and interesting, and it's just been so cool. So I'm putting no pressure right now on Dr. Jennifer Wells to be fun and interesting and cool. Hi, Dr. Wells.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, and you have to be fun, interesting, and cool at 6:30 in the morning, too.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. You know, my career, I've been able to tweak my hours so I work later, so I don't have to be up this early.
Hey, I've read a little bit. Lisa gave us a little bit of heads up on you, and you do some interesting, cool things, so that's why we wanted to have you on. Now, you are a people chiropractor, right?
I'm a people chiropractor, yes. But there's
also
lots
does
of people in Norco. Well, I know how to do animals, but I actually refer out to some of my colleagues who were professionally trained and have degrees that went to a 2-year program to work on animals. So I'm more comfortable referring out for that. But, you know, if I need to take a look at a friend's horse or my horse, I do that, but I just don't charge for it. I just kind of assess the horses and give them my professional opinion and let them do what they may after that. But I'm more comfortable working on horses on people. Excuse me?
I said, because that's what happens in Norco.
That's what
happens when you have a whole town full of horse people.
Yeah, the people need a lot of care, let me tell you. I moved here 4.5 years ago, and I was a chiropractor about 30 miles away. And I really saw a need here for a really good chiropractor. And my husband and I invested in a corner lot on a street that really needed some improvement. And with some help from the city, we were able to do that and open up a clinic. And within 2 months, I had to walk away from my 15-year practice in my other practice because I was so busy here. I didn't realize the need was way bigger than I had ever imagined. So we just love it, though. My commute's 1.3 miles. So it's very treacherous.
Can I go ahead and sign up for an appointment now, or do I need to call your office?
I will happily fit you in a special appointment time for you. I could ride my horse to work, but I choose not to because, I don't want to really be smelly when I get there. But, but
why did you pick Norco? Why did you move to Norco?
Well, I got remarried, and he had horses and wanted to live with the horses in the backyard, and I had my, dream house with my huge closet and my view and the little pool with the waterfall. And every time I came to Norco, I was so much more relaxed, and I just really, really, really enjoyed it. So I gave all that up and moved here, and I've enjoyed it ever since. The people are interesting. Everything's more laid back. It's not like you drive in your garage and slam the door shut. Everyone is happy to say hello and, help one another out. So it's just a whole different type of mentality here in Norco, which I really, really, really enjoy. It has a small town feel in the middle of a bunch of big cities. So it's really, really unique. There's trails on every street. I go to work, and every time I come up to the front desk, there's horses walking by at the, waiting at the stoplight to cross the street. And it's really, 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 really interesting. And
well,
I
now tell us about your mule called Jester. I hear that you were a finalist in America's Favorite Trail Horse Competition.
This is very exciting for me because I've only owned horses the last 6 years. I've always ridden other people's horses. And 3 years ago, I met up with a mule breeder that I had bought two Hofflinger ponies from the year prior, or 2 years prior. And I said, so what happened to those Hofflinger mules? And he said, you know, I got rid of the mares, and they were they just were a little bit hard to train, the Hofflinger mules, so I got rid of them. But I have one left I can't catch, and I looked at my husband, and I can tell he wanted it because they're just adorable. I said, hey, if we can catch it, can we have it? And I said, if you come next Sunday, we'll help you catch it, and you can take it home. So that was the beginning of our mule adventure. He belongs to Backcountry Horsemen of California, and he wanted it to be a pack mule. And he had a friend come and break it to ride, and I watched him for about a year. And I noticed that the mule really didn't like men, and he would only let him be caught if I was around. So he kind of adopted
Aww.
Me, and I've developed this friendship with this mule, and I started riding him, and I started using ACTA, which is American Competitive Trail Horse Association, to take him to different events and places and train him to have good manners and to do trail obstacles, which he seemed to have an affinity for. And the following year, they came up with this America's Favorite Trail Horse Competition. And last October, so a year ago, the mule was first in our region and ninth in the country. And I figured, you know,
wow.
He's pretty competitive. Let me check this out. So I auditioned, and I was the only one from Norco that was chosen. And there was 1,000 finalists from around the country. And there was 100 chosen. And at our own expense, we went to Texas, near Blanco, Texas, which is near Austin, to film the show. And we all thought, honestly, to compete for $100,000 when we were there. And lo and behold, they say, no, we're just filming. And then it's going to be like an American Idol kind of show where your episode will air and America has to call in and vote for you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not really, you know, fond of self-promotion, but I am fond of promoting this mule because he is so unique, and he was a rescue, and he's just really come so far, and it's just hope for people with animals that they feel they have no hope with to just keep working with them and with love and patience and time that they can turn around and be your best friend. And I've had some serious, serious horseback riding injuries, and I feel so totally safe on this mule. It is just bizarre. I never thought of myself would be a mule person, but I am when it comes to Jester. I just absolutely love him. And they say when you get a good mule, it'll be your best friend for life. So.
Well, I tell you, when I looked at the picture of Jester, I thought, wow, he's got the mule ears and he's got the mule face, but he has the body of a halflinger and he has the mane of a halflinger. And I couldn't quite figure that out, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, oh, his blonde mane, yeah. His sister has really white hair, too, his half-sister. But, yeah, I guess Hofflinger mules tend to be more horse-looking, and he doesn't, you know, he looks more like a horse and has some really good horse characteristics and really cute soft eye with black eyeliner and blonde hair. And if my pony didn't keep eating his tail off, he'd probably have a really big, long tail like my horses. But he's really quite beautiful, and he just loves to do trail, and actually has come a long way. And this last parade, I was able to, on Labor Day, able to ride him right up to kids and let them pet him. And, I mean, there's no way he would even have done that a year and a half ago. So I'm just so happy for him. And I hope, you know, Norco and people support Jester when his episode airs on October 25th. I just think that would be great for him and great for mules in general. And also bring some notoriety to Norco, because if we win, they come here and film giving you the prize. So that would be really great to bring Norco to the public eye.
And that's October the 25th, and that's on RFD TV. So
it's actually
you're
on HR TV. It's not
on
RFD TV.
That's what I meant.
That's
what I meant to say.
Okay.
You're right.
Yep. And a lot of people don't have that channel, so They can view it online for free at www.acfa.tv, and that's where you also vote. So everyone has 48 hours to go ahead and vote after that episode.
All right, we're going to have to remember to remind everybody to do that on the 25th because
that'd
we
be
want
great.
To support Norco too. Now, will you be riding, Jester? We're going to be out there for the Christmas parade. I think we're going to be involved in the Christmas parade. Are you going to be riding Jester in the parade?
You know what? I would love to, but it's my nephew's bar mitzvah, so I don't think I could skip that. They would never talk to me again, but I will happily
take you
guys out on a wagon ride and go Christmas caroling before that.
Well, great. And how about we throw Jamie on Jester and see if she can ride Jester during the parade? That'll be interesting.
Well, he'll be around. He loves girls. He loves girls. Just absolutely loves girls. Actually, the reigning the amateur champion here, Kelly Shields, for the Mule Association, rode him in Bridled English Pleasure at the LA County Fair last week, and he just loves her. So he likes girls. He tolerates boys now, but he really loves girls.
So on this competitive in this show, was there any other mules in the entire thing?
Yes.
Or was
there was
the
four
only
total mules out of 100. Initially, I was told I was the only one, but when I got there was three others, and two of them, their episodes have already aired. One was a girl named Michelle on her mule named These Boots Were Made for Lopin'. It's the white dog mule. Isn't that the cutest name? And
yes.
Then another one was Mary Wasson on her mule, and she's from Texas. Her episode has not aired yet. And another one was Mary Kay, and I can't pronounce her last name, she's going to kill me, on her mule named Emmett. So all that's left now is me on Jester and Mary Wasson on her mule. So I'm not really sure when her episode airs.
I would almost think that you guys would have a little bit of a advantage over the horse people because, say, there however many horses there were, you guys are sharing votes of an entire mule community where the horse community just spread out.
You would hope and think. It's just different. You know, the people that have won so far have had really unique horses. The first one that won was on a dressage saddle and had a beautiful dressage horse and that she started riding on trail. So she won the very first episode. And, you know, there was a bunch of people on that ACTA Facebook that weren't too pleased about, you know, a dressage horse winning a trail competition. But, you know, she did a very nice job and has a beautiful animal. And then the one that won last week is on a white little Welsh pony. And she does extreme cowboy race stuff. And her horse performed very well. It's a very, very well-mannered, very nice horse and really cute to look at. Jester does extreme cowboy race stuff, too, with Craig Cameron, EXCA. And he's actually our local reserve champion in the novice division. I did that on him this year and last year. So that's really fun, too, because you do obstacles super-duper fast, and then you got to shut it down and do the obstacle and then run in between. And for a Hofflinger and a mule, he runs super-duper fast, and he actually comes in second in time compared to, like, I think the 22 or 23 horses we compete against. So it's kind of, I think it just kind of blows the judges away when he runs so fast and gets second in the overall time out of all those horses.
That's awesome.
It is pretty fun. And he likes to jump and do water boxes. And they had a really scary water box that they actually took out in the last race. It had a piece of floating plywood with holes in it. And as soon as the horses, or of course my mule, would step on it, water would shoot up in the air. And he was the only one. He was the only one to complete it in a perfect 10. And
hey,
it was
Jamie.
Really cool. Oh.
I want to see Jamie's horse Jet do that one.
He'll probably launch up in the air. There's a picture of Robin Bond on a big Pinot Gypsy, just like 3 feet, 4 feet up in the air, all fours up in the air, didn't want to go anywhere near that water box. But Jester put his head down, assessed it, and, you know, he took a second and then walked all fours right in it. And, I mean, I don't know, I just trusted him to do it. I'm like, you're going through it? And he's like, okay. Looks good to me. Let's do it. My husband's horse wouldn't get anywhere near it. Just snorted and kept spinning around. And was like, I'm not doing that. So I was really happy with him. And when they put him on the EXCA Brave Horse website, perfect 10 in the water box, I was just so proud, and it's neat because I didn't even know about it, and people email me or call me and say, you got to look at that, you got to look at it, you're on the website. So it's really neat. Jester's getting his own little fan club, which is really cool. And people go, why do you call him Jester the Wonder Mule? I said, it's a wonder he lets me do any of this stuff with him.
That's funny. Well, now yeah. I see something here, too. It says in the notes something about the Rose Parade. Was he in the Rose Parade?
No, we had just got him at that point. I actually have Haflinger horses, and we have we drive them competitively in pleasure carriage or in a wagon.
And, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, and my husband said, I want to learn to do that. I'm like, okay. And when I sold my big house, I took a bunch of money, and I said, I'm going to buy all the safe equipment and things that we're going to need. You know, because when you carriage drive, you have to have really safe equipment. You don't want anything to break. You don't want, you know, substandard, you know, carriages where the wheels fall off or anything. We're going to have an accident. So I wanted to be super safe. And we learned from some local friends, and we learned to carriage drive. And I always as a little girl growing up here in Southern California, the Rose Parade is just, you know, the biggest parade of all. And
it's the biggest parade in the country. Yeah, not just in Southern California.
It's just, you know, but it's, you know, it has an allure about it. And I became quickly involved when I started in Haflingers. I had a Haflinger stallion. I had a Haflinger gelding. And I just, I was like, you know, I networked with and helped start a group called California Haflingers. I was very involved with Western Haflinger Association and some breeders in the area. And just befriended everybody and networked with them, and I got actually some of them to sponsor us in the Rose Parade. And through the Yahoo group and California Haflinger group, we put together a group of about nine horses to go in the Rose Parade. And we applied, and we all wore lederhosen and dirndls, which is, in retrospect, really silly because it's freezing and you're in this tiny little dress. But we were accepted in the Rose Parade, and there was a group of us from all over California, Southern California and Northern California, and we had never met. Some of us have never met or ridden or driven together, and we had to do a performance at Equest Fest, which is three days prior to the Rose Parade, and they asked us to drive the Rose Queen in court in our wagon with our pair, which was actually one of my highlights of the whole week. And and then the Rose Parade, we drove individual carriages, and there was a few riders that rode their horses. And, man, it's a really long parade, and everyone's so exuberant. And it's really quite the most amazing parade experience. If anyone ever wants to do something just totally unique and different and they like to do parades, that is definitely the parade to do it in. And, you know, the sun came up and it was beautiful, and everyone just, as soon as you round that corner, you know, the TV corner, it just, the energy is just extreme. And I was really happy because
I was going to say there's a million people that line the parade route, so.
Oh, yeah, and it can be scary, you know, some of them have blow horns and, you know, try to scare the horses because they think it's funny, but my horses, I was just so proud of them. None of them were aced, none of them had any kind of, you know, calm down medicine or anything. They just did it all by themselves to show their personality, and I was just super happy with that. I drove my stallion. My friend, who had actually never been in an English saddle, rode my gelding in a dressage saddle and outfit. I know, I still apologize for that. And then my husband drove his horse in his cart, and it was really, really, really neat and fun. I think everyone enjoyed it because the horses are just so unique to look at, and my horse's hair is 3 feet long, and I macrame braided it, and I don't think a lot of people have seen that before, so it's fun to do that.
Well, that's terrific, and we've talked to other people that have been in the Rose Parade, and it is supposed to be the ultimate parade. You sounded like you did a lot better with your rig than we did trying to do a little parade here locally the other night. But we're not going to talk about that. So you did better. So that's good. Hey, we're running out of time here. We're going to be coming out. And I want to remind everybody, if you live in the California, Southern California area, you're near Los Angeles, if you're near Norco, on November the 30th, we're going to be doing a live show. You have to get up early. It's going to be at 6 a.m. to 7:30. It's our normal time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 Eastern. And we're going to be at the America's Country store, and we're inviting an audience to come in. We know we already have had people respond and say they're coming, so you can actually come over and you can join us during the show. We're going to have a live audience during that episode. So that's at America's Country store on November 30th in Norco. And then we'll be hanging. We'll be around town. I know that Lisa has us all booked up with cool stuff, so I'm sure we'll get to meet you at some point, right, Dr. Wells?
Oh yeah, we're gonna take you around caroling in our carriage. So we're gonna hook you up with that at nighttime with lights on our wagon and music, and it'll be fun. Look forward to
Jenna,
it.
Hey Jamie, you need to bring your guitar and your harmonica, and learn some Christmas tunes.
You know what? You need to stop telling me what I need to do. You bring your guitar. I'm going to not make these people mad on the first time I meet them.
We do have a microphone, so if you want to pick up and
there
do some karaoke with it, it's all good with us.
You know, we are totally out of time, Dr. Wells, so we're going to have to let
nice
you go.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to meeting
you
when
Wells.
You get here.
All right, we'll see you. See you in a couple months.
Sounds
bye-bye.
Good. Bye.
Well, that was fun. We have not met these Norco people. They're just so much fun, and they're so diverse. There's so many different things they do. Well, I have put a song together for you today, and we're going to be coming back from that with our European report and also an All-Tech National Horse Show update. But I put a song together for you today just so you could just keep on looking forward to the weekend. This is Dan Roberts wrote this with Garth Brooks. A lot of people don't know that. And Garth sang it, became a very popular song, but Dan also did his version. We can't play the Garth version, which is why we're playing Dan right now. So it's Dan Roberts, The Beaches of Cheyenne, Garth Brooks, Saturday.
Packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door, patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, through a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed that told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
Baby, Garth freaking Brooks in 4 days, Glenn. 4 days, 14 hours, and 36 minutes. Woohoo!
That was Dan Roberts. He wrote that with Garth.
Yeah. Vegas, baby, Vegas. Okay. Carry on.
Are you okay now? Our next guest is Jonathan Lang. He is from Alltech, which is the title sponsor of the Alltech National Horse Show coming up here in Lexington, Kentucky, in just a month now. And we have Jonathan on to talk to us about this. We're doing a once-a-week segment on the Alltech National Horse Show because it's kind of a big deal, and it's a very big deal here in Lexington. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Good. Now, if I remember right, you also worked on the WEG stuff, didn't you?
I did. You know, it just rolls into one event after the next over here, but it's a very exciting opportunity for us.
Well, and I wanted to say that last year this time, your life was a little different today than it.
You know, we had an event. We do a new Equine News and Brews program each month, and our last one was on the 28th, and that was the first thing that I mentioned to people, and we tend to forget, is that, you know, it's been almost over a year now since that event took place, and it's really hard to believe. Just all the lead up, I worked exclusively on that for 2 years. And to see it, you know, culminate, you know, it went off without a hitch. You know, everybody was really impressed. And, you know, we're continuing to see the benefits from that event. It's just really mind-boggling.
Well, I wanted to tell you that it's kind of ironic that I just got an email from a friend of ours from Louisiana who was up and actually stayed with us during WEG. And it was right now during WEG last year. And she just wrote, Jonathan, and said, wearing my WEG shirt and sad the clock won't turn back so that I could be there again, watching the excitement and seeing my friends. And I think that's how those of us that got to go to WEG, that's how we feel. You know, it's just, it was one of those moments in time. And I know you guys were so busy that I don't know how you got to see or do anything because you were just so nuts. But for those of us that got to see and do everything, it was a pure joy. And thank you for helping put that together.
Oh, no. It's, you know, the one thing we tried to stress, because you certainly have, you know, the equine enthusiast that was coming to that event. But, you know, for us, we spent an incredible amount of time traveling across the state of Kentucky, talking really to anybody that would listen, more so to educate them about, you know, what they could see, what they could do. And just a lot of people that haven't been out to the Kentucky Horse Park and think once they had a chance to go out there and see it, it really changed their perception, because there is really something for everybody out there.
Well, now, you know, right now there's such diversity, and of course we're going to talk about the Alltech National Horse Show, but right now we just did a driving radio show yesterday with the organizers of the National Drive, which is going on right today. It starts at the Kentucky Horse Park. There are 250 carriages, rigs, and hundreds of horses there for the entire week. If you go out to the Kentucky Horse Park this week, you're going to see the most amazing, beautiful sights of these horses and carriages driving around the horse park. It's just an incredible thing to see. We've been out every year for this, and it's the National Drive. It's going on right now there. And then utilizing one of the stadiums that was built for the WEG, the Alltech Stadium, that's where the National Horse Show is going to be. How is it that Alltech – why is it that Alltech decided to sponsor the National Horse Show?
Well, look, this goes back all the way to 2006 when we decided to become the title sponsor of the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games. You know, looking at the business that we're in, we're committed to providing natural nutritional solutions. You know, so when we get involved with equestrian events, what better way to really showcase animals' performance or peak to be involved with an equestrian sport? You know, while we're involved in all species, this is really a perfect opportunity for us. Coming off of you know, the games last year, we always knew we wanted to have some type of legacy event. I mean, you just mentioned yourself there, looking at what's going on this week. You know, we want to make an event that's going to continue on with that legacy and really build the momentum as we continue on. The National Horse Show, you know, this is an event that's primarily been held in Madison Square Garden, has a storied tradition, and we've spent a lot of time going through and reading about a lot of the history and just getting an idea of all the people that have been to this in the past. You know, in the later years, it's been in Syracuse, it's been in Wellington, and it's traveled around. And I think, you know, we had an opportunity to sign on to this looking back in April of this year, and I know Mason is certainly, you had him on last week, has mentioned, you know, what better place than the Kentucky Horse Park? Brand new facilities, state-of-the-art, centrally located. It's a perfect opportunity. It's a natural fit for us.
Air conditioned and heated, I'll add.
Yes, it definitely is.
And a great stadium. It really doesn't have a bad seat in the entire. I don't care what seat you get, you're going to end up seeing very well there. It's a really nice stadium that way. Very open feeling, and it's just one of the nicer indoor stadiums we have for horse stuff. Works perfectly. Having watched jumpers in there before, it works perfectly for that. The arena's big. The footing's perfect. It is a nice place for a 100 jumper show.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And then, you know, aside from the competition, that's one of the things we wanted to try to touch on when we go out and we talk to people about this event. Because, you know, again, coming off this momentum of last year, just getting people to understand, you know, the magnitude of this event and what you can see and do. You know, there's certainly the competition. That is second to none. We're looking at over $600,000 in prize money. We have nine former Olympians, four of those which were gold medal winners. They're going to be participating in this. But what people also are not aware of, there's going to be a shopping portion to this. We're looking at over 60 trade show booths. There's going to be an educational portion to this. And that's something that we really want to make sure that's going to focus on children, get them involved. There's going to be a hospitality portion. We have an area which we're dubbing Pierce's Place. So if you want to take a break during the day and go in and have some drinks and have some light hors d'oeuvres and maybe get a chance to watch some TV, there's a little bit something for everybody that's going to be out
there. Won't be any All-Tech Ale at that booth, I assume.
Kentucky Ale, yes.
Yeah,
actually, the Kentucky Ale, Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale is the official beer of the All-Tech National Horse Show.
I figured there'd be some there because, you know, it's good stuff. Well, this is great. And what the dates again are, November 2nd through the 6th. This is the 128th edition. And as you said, there's $600,000 in total prize money. A lot of terrific classes. You can buy your tickets now. Now, did they give you a trivia question for tickets to give away this week?
We do have a trivia question.
Okay.
You know, we mentioned the Kentucky Ale that's going to be out there. What a lot of people know is we're involved with coffee. So I guess this week's trivia question would be, where does All-Tech's coffee originate from?
Oh. I don't know that one either.
It's also one of the designated charities for ticket sales, which a lot of people don't realize as well. All proceeds, or 50% of the proceeds from the nine different events each day, those go back to different charities. So we're really excited about that. It's not just money going to the National Horse Show. We are giving back to the community.
Now, when you say where does the coffee originate from, see, I'm still stuck in that trying to win tickets. When you say where does the coffee originate from, do you mean what country or?
What country, yes.
Okay.
Located in the Caribbean.
All right. So there's your question, Jennifer, to post on Facebook. What country does All-Tech Coffee originate from? And the winner will get two tickets to the All-Tech National Horse Show this week. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for joining us. We really appreciate it. The website is nhs2011.org for National Horse Show, nhs2011.org. And I'm looking forward to seeing you over there again.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you guys, too. And, again, encourage everybody to come out, have a good time. You know, during the week or on the weekend, it's going to be quite an event.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. Well, I'm ready. Getting me excited about the National Horse Show.
Okay. Well, that's the coffee thing is pretty easy. I'm not going to lie. I found it in about 5 seconds.
Okay, so if you want to answer that question and win some tickets, just post it on Facebook there, and we're going to pick out of the answers, we're going to pick a winner. So we announced yesterday who last week's winner was, and they're very kind to give us tickets to give away every week.
Very cool. Good luck, everybody. I wish I could go. It's a little bit far of a flight, but whatever.
Yeah. Yes, it is. You want to take us into Horse and Country TV?
I would love to. Say what?
I said I'm tired of talking. It's your turn.
It's okay. I'm tired of listening to you.
Okay.
Just kidding. Well, we have this time of the week, every week, we do talk to Horse and Country TV. And we are fortunate enough to have Victoria on with us. Oh, wait. Is it Victoria?
It is, indeed.
Okay, so you took over, so I just wanted to make sure. So we are going to talk a little bit to you this week. First of all, how are you? How's it going?
I'm very well. I'm doing brilliantly, and we had a heat wave this weekend, which was very exciting. It doesn't happen very often in Britain, so yes, it's been very nice.
And what exactly is a heat wave like in Britain?
It's high 20s, which is quite unprecedented for October. Normally we're kind of braced for snow by this time of year, but it was really nice. So, yeah, bit of a change.
Okay, first person to post what the 20s are in Fahrenheit will win a prize. I don't know what that is.
I haven't a clue. I'm afraid I can't work in Fahrenheit.
I don't know, but that's probably like 70 degrees. I have no idea. I'm just guessing. So, well, that's nice. So it's t-shirt weather.
It was, bit, yeah, I guess. Definitely.
Very cool. Well, good. Yeah, I guess it is. October starts to get pretty cold for you guys. It's just such a cultural experience talking to Horse and Country TV because, you know, I don't know that much about it, but you guys are doing a Horse of the Year show. Now, we reported on this earlier. The Horse of the Year show is actually going to be broadcast in 3D on some channel somewhere. Is that correct?
Yes,
is that a competitor?
Sky Sports. I think it's the first time it's been on 3D, so that's quite exciting. And we're also here with Horse and Country doing reports for the website and interviews with the riders, and I'm actually here in the press room now. So, yes, everyone in the press room is also having to listen to my interview.
Well, I hope it goes okay. So tell us a little bit about Horse of the Year and what it's like there.
It's an amazing show. I mean, it's in a conference center, so it's not often an equestrian venue. And every year in October, they transform it into a huge show. And so there's about 1,500 horses here and 1,400 competitors and loads of shops and stands. And apparently about 65,000 people come across the 6 days of the show. So it's an amazing thing to come and see. And all the best horses in Britain are here competing this week.
And what kind of competition is it? Is it a mix of everything? Show jumping, hunters, jumpers, event? What do they show there?
Mostly show jumping. So all the international riders are here, but there's also showing. So everything from show ponies up to, I think there's a Shire Horse of the Year title being judged here this week. So lots of show horses and ponies as well. And then there's events such as the Household Cavalry are here, and we've got a French rider who's doing classical dressage performances. So there's lots going on. And shortly this afternoon, we're having the Express Eventing Competition, which is when you have dressage to music and then show jumping and then indoor cross country all under one roof. So I think that's going to be an exciting event this afternoon.
I've been reading a little bit about that and the Express Eventing. I mean, what a great idea. It's like a musical freestyle, and then you get to go do cross-country course in there. Now, is Mark Todd going to perform in this one? Because I know he's been in a lot of the other ones.
He's done quite a few indoor cross-country events. Unfortunately, he's not here today. We've got Oliver Townend here. He's a very successful British rider.
Yeah.
And several other sort of up-and-coming Brits, and a few international riders like Alex Huatian, who's represents China, although he is based over here. So it's set to be a good competition, and it's the first time it's been held here at Horse of the Year show, so looking forward to watching it.
Now, when you're sitting in a press room and you're describing what the horse show is in very basic terms, just look around and just, you know, put your hand over the receiver of the phone and just go, I'm talking to some dumb Americans. Just dumb Americans. They don't know what this is.
Well, it's very strange as I'm sitting in the press room and I can't see a horse. I'm looking out over the car parks and there's not a horse to be seen. And yet some, behind the scenes, there's over 1,000 of them. So it's
they always
strange.
Do that at press rooms for some
reason.
Yeah,
I know.
We always get to look at, usually it's the porta potties all lined up is what we get the view of.
So true, so true.
Now, do you guys call porta potties porta loo?
Yes, we do.
Awesome! So, Glenn, it's not a porta potty, it's a porta loo.
Yes.
Sorry, I got it wrong. I didn't even know that.
Victoria, I don't think Victoria understands that I do a very fantastic British accent all the time, and everybody makes fun of me all the time for it. So you'll get used to that.
I think I heard some of that last week. But yes, I have a Scottish accent, so you'll have to practice doing that one for next week.
Oh, my God, I got to hear that.
Don't encourage her, please.
We'll have an accent off, okay?
Okay.
It's cool. Well, so the other news you guys have is reading an article about European horse racing, and there has been a serious crackdown on the use of whips by jockeys in flat racing and even over fences racing. So what does everybody kind of think about that over there?
It's been quite a big story in racing, and it's only applying in Britain. So in Ireland, the same rules apply. But here in Britain, they've changed it, and they've restricted the amount of times that the jockey can use the whip, and they've cut it down to 7 times in a flat race and 8 times in a national hunt race. And the reaction's been mixed. I think some people in racing think it's unnecessary to make any changes, whereas other people are saying that the whip should be banned altogether. So there's been a lot of debate about it this week.
And kind of, is there like one overwhelming side? I mean, or are most people like, yay, it should be limited, it should be banned? I mean, what's the general feel? Is it split?
I think in racing, most people think that it wasn't really a change that was necessary. I think outside racing, especially after the Grand National, there was a lot of debate about it because the winning horse was found to have been hit by the whip 17 times in total, which is quite a lot, and it's a very long race. But I've been speaking to various people about it in the horse world, and my opinion is that I wouldn't want to go cross-country or show jumping without carrying a whip to back up your leg aids if you need it. And so it's quite a lot to expect jockeys to be able to ride in a national hunt race or a jumps race without carrying a whip. So we'll have to see what happens. But certainly some people are saying that they think it's not gone far enough and that jockeys shouldn't have to use the whip at all.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to hire 12 new stewards to sit there and count each whip strike as the race is going on? You know,
possibly.
The practicality of that is kind of tough, isn't it?
It is difficult. And also for jockeys to be thinking, because they're only allowed to use the whip up to 5 times in the final furlong or after the last jump. And, if you're riding for the finish post, it's quite a lot to think about how many times you've actually used the whip in total. And the penalties for breaking the rules are going to be much tougher. And you'll have at least a 5-day ban if you break the rules. And you could end up forfeiting your riding fee or your prize money share. So I think it's going to be something that jockeys, there is going to be more bans when the new rules come into place. So a lot to change.
That's going to be very difficult because for the jockeys, because they're riding after they've been riding for a period of time, after they're not a bug anymore. It's a habit. I mean, everything is a habit that you get to doing, and you're going to do it without even thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to, I think there are going to be a lot more bans coming up, so it'll be interesting to see whether that does transpire.
Gotcha. Now, the final thing we wanted to talk to you about today is the War Horse movie that's coming out. Now, we have talked about this here. It's coming out in the U.S. on Christmas Day,
yes.
December 25th here. And is that – something that's kind of sweeping the horse community like it is here? Are people super excited about that movie, Steven Spielberg,
yes.
A War Horse?
Definitely. I mean, it's a real British favorite because it's written by Michael Marpurgo, who's a very popular children's novelist here. And the book's been around for 30 years. And in 2007, it was adapted for stage. And it's been hugely successful. So it started in London, but then it moved to the West End and it sold out. And I think even the Queen's been known to have seen War Horse, the play. And then next thing we heard that Spielberg had wanted to make a film of it. And so everybody's very excited, and it's been filmed on location in various places in Britain. So I'm very excited about it, and I think lots of Horse and Country viewers are as well, looking forward to watching it.
I cannot wait. So when does it come out over there?
We have to wait until mid-January for it to come out, so not quite as early as you guys get to watch it in the States.
We can come over, we can watch it together.
Yes.
We'll invite you over for Christmas.
Yes, that sounds good. make up for when everyone in America comes to watch the Olympics apartment roof, as we arranged
that. Right.
So, yeah.
Did you say Jamie and I spot in your apartment roof? Or do we have a chair there?
Yes, okay, definitely, good. With horses in the morning, emblazoned across it already.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Hey, before we let you go, I got to ask you about one thing I saw on your website myself here. What is this talent? You guys are doing a talent show with your horse?
Yes, we are asking people to upload their videos. So if your horse has got an unusual habit or a quirky character, or if he can do anything special, then everyone should upload their videos. And that's open to everyone in America as well. And we're going to make a TV program out of the best videos. So if any American listeners are wishing their horses to become famous in Britain, they should definitely upload their videos to the site. So it's horseandcountry.tv.
Okay, so your horse has to do something special.
Yes,
something kind of cool. I mean, the only thing my horse can do is some sort of amazing acrobatic maneuver underneath the rails of the stall. He puts his head and then half of his upper body to try to get one tiny piece of alfalfa from the horse next to him.
That's just the right kind of thing, so anything like that would be perfect.
I mean, it's horsey yoga at its finest, okay? He complains about back pain, and he can do this maneuver. So, I'm sure there's more talented horses out there than just trying to get some alfalfa. So, please, everybody, send them in.
I think you should definitely send us your video as well. I want to see this trick of your horses. So, yeah, send us your video.
And at the end of that video, Jamie, you can put him bucking you off on a regular basis. You know, just a series of the bucks, because that is a talent he has as well.
Yeah, that's something we should see.
That's a different horse, Glenn. That's a different talent.
Oh.
That'd be a whole separate video. So everybody, please go check out horseandcountry.tv. And then right on the front, it says horses have talent. And so we definitely upload. I want to see some of our listeners' horses on horseandcountry.tv because they have all the videos on there. I haven't watched any, so I won't see how I compare, but I do see one horse is actually sitting like a dog. So my horse cannot do that, so I would lose. But everybody go to horseandcountry.tv. And Victoria, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for being here, and enjoy that horse show.
Thank you very much. I will do.
All right. Bye, Victoria.
All right.
Well, that was a good report. She's good. I like her.
I like her, too. Yeah, definitely. And I got to ask you guys, does Beaker have any special talents where you could upload your video? Beaker, your horse?
Eating did not count.
Eating.
Eating is it.
He can
eat
like nobody's business.
So you could actually put like some grain down and you could put a stopwatch right next to it on camera and then you could put like 3 quarts of grain, 1 scoop, and then throw it down there and then time him how fast he eats it, and then that would be your video.
You know what he would rather do?
Get his World Book of Records.
You know what he would rather do, though? I know Beaker pretty well. What he would rather do, you know those eating competitions where they see if you can eat 85 hot dogs in 10 minutes? He would rather do the eating competition where you can see if he can eat a whole bag of grain in 10 minutes. That's the one he would rather do.
Speed eating.
Yeah.
And the fun part of that would be once you put the nasal gastric tube up his nose and into his stomach and then pump it because he would then founder, that would be really fun for video too.
I should do that though. I really should time him sometime because it is pretty amazing.
He eats about as fast as our greyhound. They both have that problem. Greyhounds eat fast. Man, they devour their food. What a diversity of guests today. I love the mule. He is so cute.
So, yeah, he's pretty adorable. And that's just a fantastic picture of them. I guess it probably was a professional photo shoot, though.
I think it had something to do with America's ride. I'm thinking that's what it did, the TV show. Hey, speaking of fantastic pictures, that looks absolutely like a painting. I came across a story this morning in Morocco. It's called the Tissa Horse Festival, T-I-S-S-A, Horse Festival. And when I look at the pictures, I thought they were paintings. And Jennifer, you can post the link on Facebook and it there in the story. But they have this horse festival. I love these horse festivals in unusual parts of the world. And this one is apparently to recreate the battles of the old days in Morocco where they would charge on their horses and do all of that. Well, the competition, they actually have a competition. And the competition is they all get together in like brigades and they charge in a line and they actually grade, judge the formation and how neat it is. And the ability, what they do is they start at one end of a field and you have all of these guys lined up in their old traditional costumes, which are very colorful. They're all carrying musket rifles. And what they do is they charge across the field at a dead run up to a fence, and they have to stop as close as they can get to the fence and all shoot their guns off at the same time. And that's the competition right there. Over and over again. And you got to remember that they're firing muzzle-loaded rifles. And muzzle-loaded rifles, if you've ever been to a Civil War reenactment or a Revolutionary War reenactment, when you have a whole bunch of them firing at the same time, it is very loud. It's a very loud experience. So that's what they do, and you have a whole day. You must wear ear protection of some sort to go there and watch because it's got to be loud. But you got to admit, you see the pictures there, Jamie. It's very colorful.
Oh, it's spectacular. Wow. I would not like to go, but I'll look at the
at least what Tammy does with mounted shooting, they're actually shooting at balloons for some kind of precision. Here it's you run down and you just fire your guns in the air. Let's hope they're not loaded.
Now, you've been to Arabian Nights down in Florida, right?
Yes. Many times.
This looks like the horses are dressed up like for Arabian Nights.
Yes, that is correct. They're very colorful.
Is that me being ignorant and racist because they're Moroccans and they're not Arabians? No,
is how they dress up. They're very fancy costumes on the horses. It looks like a complete lack of control on the riders' parts, but that could be just the pictures.
They're not even holding on to the reins.
I was just going to say one other thing I'm excited that they're starting to use wild Mustangs again in Texas for mounted patrols for the Border Patrol on the Texas-Mexico border. Apparently, they've trained now 6 wild Mustangs to carry agents, and the agents are excited about it because it allows them a couple things. It allows them to get in areas they can't get in with their four-wheel drive vehicles too well. And then also they said that the horses are stealthier. They don't make a lot of noise so that they can sneak up on crime as it's happening. So the horses were of course, gotten from the Bureau of Land Management. And it looks like we're putting some Mustangs to work for what they used to do 200 years ago when they got here. So that's the Bureau of Land Management in Texas is going to work.
Well, it just makes sense to do that. I mean, who better is going to travel along, you know, the border than a Mustang? I mean, they're built for it. So good for them. I'm glad that they're getting a job, and I hope that they do more like this. It would be good.
And I have one more story because I promised earlier in the show. Oliver Cromwell, for those that are not history nuts like I am, was a guy who overthrew the English monarchy. It was one of the very few times in history that the English monarchy was not in existence for about 5 years. He overthrew the English monarchy in 1653, and he actually to 1658. So 5 years he was considered the Lord Protector, and he was trying to basically put in a Republican Commonwealth sort of democratic government. It lasted for about 5 years. Well, you watch Antiques Roadshow. Do you ever watch Antiques Roadshow? Jennifer and I love it.
Absolutely. Show's addicting.
I know. Well, in England, they also have Antiques Roadshow, and they just found a jug. It's this big water jug. It's about 2 feet tall. It's brown, and it's about a foot wide. And they found this water jug, and they have traced it back to Oliver Cromwell. It was a water jug that was made out of his horse. Yes, the skin of Cromwell's dead horse, Blackjack, they even knew the horse's name, was inscribed with the words, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, Scotland, and Wales, 1653. And they determined this to be authentic, and it's worth a lot of money, about $50,000. And they said it was one of the unique, most exciting finds they've had at Antiques Roadshow in England. So,
I
if
think
you need
it's
a water
bizarre.
Jug and your horse has died, there you go.
Now, what's interesting is reading this, it says it's been in the family for years and years and years. I mean, since like the 1800s. And this guy takes it to Antiques Roadshow, realizes how much it's worth, and he's holding an auction right after the show airs.
Yeah, he's selling that sucker.
Oh, yeah.
He thought it was some
sure.
dump pot. This ugly thing, and it is ugly, this ugly thing that's been in his house for all these years. Hey, one other thing, too. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you got to wonder how many people, when they go to Antiques Roadshow, you know, you see them bring, oh, it's a family heirloom, it's been in the family forever. Oh, it's worth, you know, $40,000. And sold. Like, how many people immediately sell the item? Yeah.
I'm buying a car. Hey,
yeah,
Steve Stapp posted on our Facebook page. Thank you, Steve. There's a new name, a new member of the Man Nation here on Horses in the Morning. He wrote, 22 years ago, the Great Secretariat was humanely destroyed due to laminitis. We miss you, Big Red. I thought it was longer than that.
No, I remember when it happened. So it couldn't have been much longer than that because I kind of remember
the year. Because
you're only
23 or 24, so yeah.
Well, I'm in my early 30s, so I do recall, you know, I was very well aware of who Secretariat was when I was a kid. So, and I remember when they put him down, and it was several years before they lost Seattle Slough, who they lost, you know, who won the Triple Crown in 77, the next Triple Crown winner. So interesting, he didn't make it very long, and that's just so sad. Sad.
Makes me want to watch the movie again.
I know. Watch that and How to Train Your Dragon. Because it's so
good. I
got to
watch How to Train Your Dragon. Now, I wasn't going to watch that one, but now that you've said it, it looks like we got some comments on Facebook. Other people have liked it too. So we'll have to watch that one.
It's very cute.
All right.
And what do we have coming up? I forgot to, by the way, when we came out of the song, we played the Garth Brooks song. sung by Dan Roberts, or Dan Roberts wrote it for Garth Brooks. And I forgot to say, I did what you did. I got so excited about the song and so excited about my trip to Vegas to go see Garth Brooks. I forgot to say that the show is brought to you today by Pfizer Animal Health. So the show today, Glenn, is brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health.
Thank you,
Jamie.
You did it. You remember. It's a little late, but we're here. We got 2 minutes left. The driving radio show this week is our highlight show. We talked about the National Drive, but I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Wendy and I were in a mood yesterday, so you want to tune into that one because we were both in a mood, and much to the chagrin of the guests that were on the show. But it was all about the National Drive at the Kentucky Horse Park, and I've been invited to go out sometime one afternoon this week and get a drive on a Percheron wagon, so I'm excited about that. And you get to learn. We also learned more about the annual American Driving Society meeting that's coming up next week. And Dr. Ying Wendy did a whole segment on food therapy, and she used your dog as an example of that, actually, on food therapy. So she talked about the different
really?
Kinds of hot and cold foods and what they do to their yin and their yang. So You can tune into that at drivingradioshow.com or horseradionetwork.com. But that's out now, episode number 13. It's a fun show. That's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with another new episode. If you missed today's, or if you missed any part of today's, you can always listen later in the day. The show will be out. You can listen on our website at horsesinthemorning.com for the recorded version. What did I miss?
4 days, 14 hours, and now 2 minutes.
Well, you were really mean to me today because I just mentioned about you playing harmonica and thing, and you were all mean to me today. So you forget that I have the buttons and all the control, and I am the boss.
Okay,
so
I practice.
So take a listen, everybody.
Like crazy. All weekend.
Bade, neuter, and geld. Goodbye. I'm hanging up.
Yesterday. Before the
See you at Steelers.
So I'm still a little rusty. 4 minutes of practice, and I haven't played in about 10 years. So here we go. I'm a little nervous. Watch out.
All right, this is Jamie Jennings on the harmonica and the guitar.